at Walmart.
Newsmakers, talk to Jason Miller.
David Hinson is the director of the Minority Business Development Agency.
The White House is going to set up a new businessusa.gov site. There are many departments. The government does a lot to provide a lot of services to a lot of different people with very specific needs. There's still more work that needs to be done to help people understand the broad range of services and support that the government provides, particularly to minority-owned businesses and small businesses.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/federal. Drive.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, Roger Waldron.
Welcome to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Carolyn Alston. Carolyn Alston is the general counsel for the Washington Management Group, a Dell Tech company. Carolyn comes to us with over 27 years of experience at the General Services Administration. So you beat me, Carolyn. And she's been with WMG for 10 years now as their general counsel. Today we are going to talk about the state of interagency contracting, and in particular a focus on the GSA Schedules program. Carolyn, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Roger. It's good to be here.
Well, I'm looking forward to this conversation. As you know, this is one of our favorite topic areas and something that's near and dear to our hearts. And I guess I'm just going to ask you a sort of big picture question. From your perspective, what is the state of the GSA Schedules program?
Well, I think that the Schedules program is an extremely robust program in terms of both the items and services that agencies can acquire. And I think that it provides the customers a great vehicle for streamlining their procurement processes. And it also gives industry a great vehicle for being able to introduce products into the federal market.
Well, that's you know, it is a wonderful program. It has grown so much. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of that was when you were at GSA. You mm-hmm. were the assistant commissioner for the acquisition. Give me the name of that, Carolyn. It's been a long time.
Assistant commissioner for acquisition.
Okay.
And it was the predecessor organization to FAS. It was then called Federal Supply Service.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. I mean, I should know that. I guess I must be getting old because I worked there as well, and I couldn't remember the name. You know, what have you, you know, since you've left GSA and when the schedules were where they were at that point, mm-hmm. back about 2001, I believe, you left right around then. Mm-hmm. What have you seen change over the last few years? I know it's still a very strong, robust program, but what changes have you seen?
I think that the one of the greatest benefits of the schedule back in the 90s and when the schedule was being developed was its simplicity, that agencies were able to get items fairly easily from the multiple award schedule. Now I think that there has been a growing number of rules that are layered on top of each other, and it's making it more difficult for the users to understand how to buy. And in some respects, the same thing is happening on the contracting side, where there's been a layering on of rules that is making it a little bit more difficult to get to agreement on contract terms.
Right. Well, in particular, what rules are you talking about?
I think it's the rules that are in the new 8.4. And let me say this. I don't disagree with any of the government's overarching policies. I think that it's extremely important for agencies to be able to leverage their requirements. I think that it's extremely important for agencies to have some transparency in what they're doing so that the process is fair for all contractors. But I think that with the number of roles that are being issued now, that some of them are not all working toward the same purpose. For example, in the 8.4, it says that if you have a purchase, if you have an order that's over $500,000, that agencies need to make a determination that the schedules is the best approach. Well, I can tell you from the contracting side that GSA has gone through a huge effort in trying to negotiate a good price. And given that amount of effort, I think that there should be some recognition that using the schedule is better than going out on an open market purchase. So that if there's any justification, it shouldn't be that schedules is the best approach, but that the justification should be if you're using an open market vehicle rather than going to a GSA schedule.
Right, and that rule specifically is a rule that was actually mandated by Congress that requires a contracting officer for any order off the GSA schedules over $500,000, they have to make a determination that it's the best procurement method to meet that particular need. And again, it does seem to me that that sort of flips the presumption to almost push people to do open market procurements as opposed to using an infrastructure and a set of contracts that have that the whole purpose of setting them up is to leverage requirements and get, you know, agencies to use a streamlined, effective process. So it does sort of seem like that's a countervailing sort of policy that's, you know, you're either going to have interagency contracts or not, right? I mean, it seems to me.
Yes, it is.
Well, you know, with regard to, do you see any kind of disconnect between, you know, you've talked a little bit about FAR 8.4 and there's more, you know, there's competitive requirements for orders over $150,000 that you have to use e-buy or provide notice to all. You know, is there a disconnect between those sort of procedures and, you know, going back to the, you know, I guess, sort of the front end and the negotiation of the contracts and how that plays out?
Well, I guess you could call it a disconnect. There are certainly processes built into the front end that would address the competitiveness of schedules. And I think that probably the price reduction clause is the biggest example of that. GSA, when they award the original contract, as a part of the underlying philosophy of the schedules, recognizes that a price awarded today may not be a valid price for 6 months from now, or it may not be a valid price given your specific requirements. So that with the price reduction clause, agencies have the opportunity to get better prices at the point of the actual transaction. That concept and the new concept of mandating additional repetitive
competition,
I don't think they've actually been resolved. I see that there is some conflict between the price reduction procedures and the new requirements to continuously compete. And I think it may not be exactly right to say that they're at odds with each other, but for right now, I don't think that philosophically those two concepts have been resolved or fully thought out of the impact of the price reduction and the new competition requirements.
Right. So if I'm a company, not only do I have to compete for orders over $150,000, right? You also have to constantly maintain, you know, compliance with your price reduction clause and track it to an offer, you know, consistent with whatever the terms of the contract offer. There might be a trigger where you have to offer a lower price.
Yeah, and in a kind of a perverse way, the requirements for additional competition and the price reduction clause are almost a disincentive to giving your lowest price when you come in, because you know that at some point, and now with the new rules, at very often, you're going to be asked to reduce that price. So if you end up giving someone your very best price at the beginning, it's very difficult to maintain any kind of profitability with the all of the additional requirements.
Right. It's almost, you know, that policy, right? And we're really, really getting geeky, but that policy for negotiating the contracts is you're supposed to consider the terms and conditions of commercial transactions versus, you know, the government's terms and conditions. And, you know, the price reduction clause is a unique government term and condition. And the fact that you're having these competitions at the order level for anything over 150,000 is also sort of unique government term, because it essentially is part of the contract. That's a requirement. That is different than, you know, somebody's most favorite customer, it seems to me. So.
Yeah, and I think these kind of geeky requirements are really affecting people's bottom line right now and the initial offer to the government.
Well, we have a bottom line here, Carolyn, so we do have to take a break right now. But when we come back, we'll be talking more to Carolyn Alston, the general counsel for the Washington Management Group, a Delta company, and we're talking about interagency contracting. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Government year-end is fast approaching. Look to GSA Advantage and the Hahn Company now and anytime you're challenged with a compressed time frame or to do more but spend less. Now more than 400 of Hahn's newest and top models are available online and at great manufacturer direct prices. You'll find multi-purpose chairs, smart desk solutions, durable storage cabinets, contemporary conference tables, and more to fit any office need. All meet or exceed government sustainability requirements, too. To shop Hahn Direct, go to gsaadvantage.gov and type Hahn's contract number 27F, like furniture, 0015S, like Sam, in the search bar. That's 27F0015S. When you need office furniture, GSA Advantage is a quick, safe way to buy online, and Hahn lets you stretch your budget without compromising quality or style. Buy Hahn Direct. Go to gsaadvantage.gov and search contract 27F0015S today.
FederalNewsRadio.com, your source for federal news now.
Here's an inspiring story provided by Insperity.
Hi, I'm Tony Sterling, Vice President of Project Support Services Incorporated, a service-disabled veteran-owned small business. We provide project and contract support services to federal, state, and local government. I wear many hats in my job, as I'm sure most of you do, in small and mid-market companies. In 2008, we had only 46 employees. Now, thanks to Insperity's diverse spectrum of services, we have 156 employees and a true national footprint. One of the keys to our rapid growth is Insperity. They give us the resources of a large corporation in areas like HR, payroll, recruiting, training, and consulting on compliance issues. It's comforting to know that we have Insperity in our corner.
Insperity understands the many challenges faced by the federal contracting community. You need the right resources to give you the competitive advantage. Insperity's multi-state infrastructure gives you big company resources without compromising your status. Call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Tradition never graduates. Bring your family and friends to spend the day in Annapolis with Navy football. See the midshipmen take on the Southern Miss Golden Eagles Saturday, October 8th at 3:30 p.m. at Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium, presented by Navy Mutual Aid Association. Join us for a game day atmosphere like no other. Buy your tickets today to see Navy versus Southern Mississippi, October 8th at 3:30 p.m. Get the best seats now by calling 1-800-US-4-NAVY or by logging on to NavySports.com.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday at 10 a.m. here on Federal News Radio. Please join me this week for my special guest, Rita Fagan, who is a reverse mortgage specialist with M&T Bank. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by the law firm of Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire D.C. metro area. If you'd like to know more about the firm, visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com.
Retirement is expensive. Hi, I'm Mark Tabron. Join me for an informative dinner seminar on October the 18th at Mrs. K's Toll House Restaurant in Silver Spring. We'll talk about ways to help you disaster-proof your retirement. Call 1-800-783-1564 to make a reservation. Seating is limited, so call now. 1-800-783-1564. And join me on Saturday mornings at 10:30 for how to protect and grow your money on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, nutrition, dietary supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio. Listen to past shows and discover other healthy living resources at myvillagegreen.com. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane.
For more than 30 years, FLIR Systems has provided customers with trusted support needed in critical missions. With a full spectrum of products designed to enhance perception and awareness, FLIR's threat detection systems are used by civilian and government agencies around the world. FLIR now provides comprehensive radiation detection and identification for threat detection, disaster preparedness, and emergency management, such as the ongoing crisis in Japan. For more information, visit FLIR.com/detection.
Efforts are ramping up as agencies will close nearly 200 data centers by the end of the year to meet the target of consolidating at least 800 of the government's 2,000 centers. In March, the Data Center Consolidation Task Force will publish government-wide best practices to include management of private, public, and traditional data centers. Join FCO Bethesda October 14th at the Bethesda North Marriott for an early report on the future of data center consolidation. Register today at fcobethesda.org/octbreakfast.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are talking to Carolyn Alston. Carolyn is the General Counsel for Washington Management Group, a Delta company. And we've been talking about the GSA Schedules Program in general, interagency contracting, and we're going to continue on that theme. And, you know, Carolyn, I've heard you use these three words. They're a few words, but you use them to describe sort of where we are in the procurement system right now, and it's too many words. What did you mean by that?
Actually, too many words is one of my pet peeves.
Okay.
Because I think what we need is clear, sharp directive. And when we have lots and lots of rules and lots of explanations, I think that it is bad for the people who are actually on the line trying to apply some of these policies.
And you were someone who was both one of those people when you were at GSA as an attorney, but also as a senior manager, you had, you know, a core of contracting officers working for you trying to interpret these rules, right?
Absolutely.
When there were probably fewer words back then, right?
Far fewer, because I was writing them.
Okay, very good.
I actually have had a unique career because I have worked both in government and in for industry, and I have worked in policy, and I have worked in operations. And in the operational side, I was working with people who actually had to award the GSA schedule contracts and use GSA schedule contracts.
Right.
And most of the time, all they want is the bottom line. They want the facts. And my thing about too many words is that sometimes the thought gets lost in a lot of the explanations and the fluff. And I think that if you want people to use multiple award schedules, if you want them to use existing vehicles, that there's a clear way to do that, that operational people look to, for example, in the FAR guidance. And I think that, you know, if I had one thing that I'd like to wish for,
right,
it would be simplicity,
mm-hmm,
because I think simplicity adds to effectiveness.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting you say that. It's like you just had this thought come to my head. You know, remember that's a FAR rewrite and using plain language.
Yes.
But at the same time, using plain language, which they've been trying to do for years, right?
Mm-hmm.
They haven't, you know, put a moratorium on the number of words, right?
No, right.
I mean, it's plain language with lots and lots of words.
Yeah,
and it still could be a lot clearer. And I was trying to remember which. You know, was it Abraham Lincoln? Which president said, you know, this letter would have been shorter? Who said that? Who's that quote
from? I don't know. I always attribute it to George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, one of those good people. I'm not sure.
You know, this letter would have been shorter if I'd had
more time.
Right. That concept.
Yeah.
I think that's an important idea, and especially now with, you know, where we are with the budget and, yeah, you know, the acquisition processes.
Yeah. Not to say that I don't fall into that trap myself. I'm sure somebody's going to say, okay, Carolyn.
Right. They're going to pull out, you know what, Carolyn, they'll pull out the MAS policy.
Oh, yes, yes.
Carolyn is the
that
author.
That picture of clearness.
Clarity. The MAS policy statement that has been sort of underpinning of the GSA schedules program for now, geez, 20, 30 years almost.
Yeah,
that Carolyn was the author of that policy and sort of set the framework for how contracts are negotiated. And I guess that's a good time to ask you, you know, why'd you do that to us? No, I'm just kidding. Actually, you know, if you were looking at things today in terms of that policy and, you know, because it's still essentially in, you know, the regulations that GSA uses, what would you change or what you think needs to be updated today?
You know, first of all, I won't claim to be the sole author that I led a group of people at GSA that came up with the policy and basically revised what was in place at that time. And having led that project, I have great sympathy in trying to write anything around multiple award schedule because there are so many people that are impacted, whether it's the contracting community, all different right. layers of customers within the federal sector. So it's very difficult to satisfy everybody else. And I almost hate to say this, but those few little words, most favorite customer, I think they're the central part of the policy, but they're also the central part of the confusion around the policy. So if I had to do anything else...
Well, can you explain that for us?
You know, most favorite customer, it gives the impression that you are going to get someone's best price.
Right.
In actuality, there are a lot more things that come into play. Terms and conditions, quantities and volumes, and the regulations all actually account for those things. But most of the time, people only focus on that phrase, most favorite customer, without really digging into what it means. So if I could have gone back and done something differently.
The Wayback Machine.
I would have either considered eliminating those words or at least making the meaning of those words more clear.
Right. That's a great observation because you do see and you still see it today, is even after all this time, that when people see those three words, they think that means the best price period. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but if you go read the regulations, it clearly does require that contracting officers take into consideration, you know, the differing terms and conditions, the difference between the commercial transaction and what the GSA schedule contract is going to look like, and you make adjustments for that in determining what the price ought to be on that, on the contract. And then you compound it, right, today with you have these new mandates for competition at the order level and using eBuy, which is electronic quote system GSA has, to put RFQs up there and get quotes. So it is a different world and a different dynamic for the program, but it still continues to be, you know, a $40-50 billion program, you know, on an annual basis. So that must speak something for the value of it.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it speaks volumes about the value of the program, both from, like I said before, the items that are on there and the way that it's used. And I think that if you look at many of the government initiatives on leveraging the government's volume, they're built on the multiple award schedule, which I think is a testament to the program and to the people who operate it.
Right. I mean, it seems to me when you look at all of OMB's key initiatives in the contracting area in terms of leveraging and that sort of thing, it is based on using, you know, the GSA schedule platform, to where the SmartBuy, Federal Strategic Sourcing Initiative, all those programs are actually built upon the GSA schedules program. So it does say something about it. So would you eliminate the price reduction clause if you had your choice?
I put
you in the corner here, Carolyn. You don't have to answer that.
I will answer it. I think that... if I'm speaking for any of our clients, that the price reduction gives them a lot of problems, both in how it's interpreted and what it actually means, tracking and compliance. And given the amount of competition that there is at the order stage now, I think the price reduction clause has probably seen its time and usefulness.
Right. Well, are there other aspects of the program? What else are you seeing going on? Well, actually, you know, Carolyn, we're close to a break. Mm-hmm. Why don't we save that? And, you know, when we come back, we can talk further about GSA schedules, maybe a little about strategic sourcing, where that's going. Mm-hmm. And I do note there's an OMB memo that came out, on contract duplication. We'll talk a little bit about that.
Okay.
So we have to take a break right now, but when we return, we'll be talking more with Carolyn Alston. Carolyn is the general counsel for the Washington Management Group, a Dell Tech company. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Government year-end is fast approaching. Look to GSA Advantage and the Han Company now and anytime you're challenged with a compressed time frame or to do more but spend less. Now more than 400 of Han's newest and top models are available online and at great manufacturer direct prices. You'll find multi-purpose chairs, smart desk solutions, durable storage cabinets, contemporary conference tables, and more to fit any office need. All meet or exceed government sustainability requirements, too. To shop Han Direct, go to gsaadvantage.gov and type Han's contract number 27F, like furniture, 0015S, like Sam, in the search bar. That's 27F0015S. When you need office furniture, GSA Advantage is a quick, safe way to buy online, and Han lets you stretch your budget without compromising quality or style. Buy Han Direct. Go to gsaadvantage.gov and search contract 27F0015S today.
Here's Henry Sinkowitz, the CIO of DISA, on the Storage Efficiency Panel, sponsored by NetApp.
For us, it's the question of how do we take all of this analytics and make it manageable and digestible and then secure enough to be put out to the troop units in a timely fashion. So, I mean, when we look at the problem sets, I think that's some of it. And then, I mean, obviously, the medical system is a completely associative but slightly separate mm-hmm. problem set.
To hear more, visit federalnewsradio.com, keyword storage.
If you're in federal IT, you want to hear more about storage efficiency, especially when storage is eating up your IT budget. But what is storage efficiency? NetApp makes it simple. It's storage that's flexible, that's easier to manage, that requires far less hardware, often only half as much. And half as much means half the cost. IT efficiency starts with storage efficiency, built on NetApp and delivered by NetApp partners like Swish Data Corporation. To get efficient now, visit netapp.com/federal.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
How can we determine which armed aerial scout helicopter is best for the U.S. warfighter? By proving it in competition. EADS North America is ready to prove that our AAS-72X is superior to any other armed aerial scout helicopter out there. So let the competition begin. Saying you're the best isn't good enough for our warfighters. You need to prove it. EADS North America. Commitment defines us.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. CDWG, the people who get it.
Three things to know about the proposed merger of AT&T and T-Mobile. With the planned merger, AT&T will invest $8 billion more and deploy the next generation of wireless internet to nearly everyone in America. This investment will create as many as 96,000 American jobs. We're not investing to create jobs, but jobs will be created because we're investing. AT&T.
Hi, welcome to Best Buy. Can I help you?
Yeah, my brother got an Insignia HD Radio Portable last month, and he really enjoys his workouts now.
Yep, HD Radio broadcasts are great. All kinds of new stuff on the HD2, HD3 channels.
And the Insignia HD Radio Portable is $49.99?
Yes, it's a great value.
Whoa, lead the way.
And did you know Insignia also offers an HD Radio Boombox for just $99?
Insignia HD Radio receivers. Get them now at Best Buy. HD Radio. More radio, more value.
Cancer cells can take over your body when they evolve in ways that make them resistant to chemotherapy drugs. A new lab technique is shedding light on the process. A cancer cell's evolution to drug resistance is complex and not easily mimicked in the lab. So Bob Austin, a biophysicist at Princeton University, is using computer chip technology to make numerous microenvironments similar to a real tumor.
In this contraption I made, this complicated world, we're now growing cancer cells and we're applying gradients of chemotherapeutic agents.
Austin's work shows that can spark drug resistance, and he says a surgeon might be doing it inadvertently.
In the act of cutting out parts of the tumor and not other parts, he may be creating the same kind of world that I made, and he may actually be driving evolution forward.
Austin hopes to make 3D synthetic tumors to test his idea. More at nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today we are talking to Carolyn Alston. Carolyn is the general counsel for the Washington Management Group, a Dell Tech company. And we've been talking about the GSA Schedules program. And now let's turn a little bit to, well, GSA Schedules are part of the overall interagency contracting world. But I note on Carolyn, on September 29th, OMB issued a memo, a policy memo regarding the development of business cases in the case of creating new contracts, new BPAs, new GWACs, new agency-specific contracts. I know you've had a chance to look at that guidance, and what do you think?
Well, I certainly think that the memo is a step in the right direction. I think that duplicative contracts cost the government in terms of both putting them into place and diluting its leverage. And I think they cost industry because of the cost of going after all these multiple vehicles. And I think that we've seen time and time again that most of the industries don't believe that they can afford to miss an opportunity.
Right.
So they're going to go out and they're going to bid.
Regardless of whether it makes any real business sense, they feel like they're going to get locked out of a market if
exactly.
they don't compete.
So, yeah, because that one big buy will be the one that they miss.
Right.
You know,
and Carolyn, I can't resist saying this. So, Carolyn, not only are there too many words, there's too many contracts.
Too many contracts.
Right?
That's
okay,
right.
I think that'd be our mantra right for now. Too many words,
too many contracts.
Okay.
All right.
So, is there anything in that memo that sort of strikes you, leaps out at you, or things that listeners would be interested in?
Just this is from my own background of being a policy geek. I think that the audience is clearly the senior procurement executives. That's who it's intended for. I think that the senior procurement executives are going to need to do some work internally to distill this policy and to provide instructions to the people in the agency that are going to be most affected. So that's the first thing. The other thing from the substance of it is that the memo is directed at the business case analysis, what needs to be in it, how it needs to be processed. I think that there needs to be a clear statement of use what you've got. You know, if you have an existing contract, then use it. I think that OFPP might want to look at the regulations and see if the federal acquisition regulations to see if that policy directive is clearly enough stated in the priorities on use of government sources.
Right. Well, it seems to me you make a great point about, it's to the senior procurement executives, but really, I guess for lack of a better term, like the devil's in the details, or use another cliche, the action's at the next level kind of thing, that how agencies actually implement it to down to the operational level is going to be key to whether or not, you know, this, how this is actually, you know, actually works ultimately. That implementation is key, because it's always one of those things, right? Government can issue a policy, and just regardless, I mean, any government can issue a policy, right. And the box is checked that we've done that, but then how do you actually produce results,
right.
And then measure those results are going to be key. You know, with regard to, you know, you mentioned that, you know, looking at the FAR, you know, one of the things that sort of struck me when you mentioned that is, you know, as you mentioned in our very first segment, the FAR has this language in it, you know, which is mandated by statute that for any schedule order over $500,000, you have to document, explain why it's the best procurement method to meet, you know, the government's needs, which almost creates a presumption that you should do something else, frankly, which, you know, I think is counter to the whole idea of why, why have GSA and GSA schedules? Well, some may say why. but you know, with that in mind, you know, the some observers have said that they question whether there's a clear statement about the use of the GSA schedules in this memo. What's your view on that?
You know, I think if you look down to what it intends, you can say that yes, it reflects the validity of looking at schedules. But I don't find a clear statement that says look at schedules, and that may be the intent of the memo. But I didn't find a statement in there.
Right. Well, so you know, so in the case of an agency specific contract vehicle, you know, the way I think the guidance reads, that you look to whether it's a pre-existing federal strategic sourcing type contract vehicle or BPA, you look for other GWACs, those type of things, but it does not, you know, apparently specifically mention, you know, you look to see if you could do something off the schedules to instead of establishing that, you know, specific government contract. Yeah. Why do you think, you know, agencies decide to do their own contract and not use, you know, a pre-existing vehicle, whether it's the schedules or some other agency's contract vehicle that they could theoretically use? Why do they just decide, you know, what is that in your view?
Well, you know, I had to face this question a lot while I was with the GSA, and I found all kinds of things. And for all of the information GSA puts out about the schedules program, sometimes there's actually a lack of familiarity about what's there, which is kind of hard for those of us who are in the program every day to conceive of. But I think there still is a lack of familiarity. I think that there's just the old adage that everybody thinks they can do it best. You know, and I think that sometimes the most favored customer policy is misunderstood and gives the agencies a wrong impression. If they go to schedules and they find out that, you know, a price is higher than they saw someplace else, it may give them the impression that the prices are high without understanding that the schedules program and the ordering procedures are there to give agencies an opportunity to leverage their volumes and decrease the prices using the existing framework of the schedules contract and the ordering procedures in 8.4.
Right. Well, you know, is it one of the things that I've heard, and I wonder what you think of it, is the idea of, quote, uniqueness in the sense that, oh, my requirement is unique. And therefore, it's like, and it doesn't fit within this government contract or that, you know, government-wide program or an interagency contract. Therefore, I have to go out and do it on my own, essentially. Is that something that you've seen and heard?
Yeah, I think that's all a part of the feeling that I can all, that's one contracting person can always do it better than the next person, and whether it's the statement of requirements or the negotiation of prices. But, I mean, just when I look at our own client base at Washington Management Group, there is such flexibility in the commercial offerings under the schedule that it would be a very a really unique requirement that can't be satisfied within the framework of the schedules program.
Right, that was always my experience. Whenever somebody would say that, said, well, you know, the scope of the schedules contract and the commercial offerings that are available, I mean, you'd have to find something, and you can add agency unique requirements at the order level so long as they don't conflict with the contract. So there's a lot of flexibility there, I think, and that is maybe part of the misunderstanding by some folks regarding the program.
And I think that that misunderstanding is even more in the services area than it is in the product area, because on the services schedules, it is mostly negotiated labor hours, and you can use those labor hours to build any number of different solutions, both within one contract or across a team of contractors.
Yeah. So, well, Carolyn, right now we have to take our final break, but when we return, we'll be talking more to Carolyn Alston, the general counsel for the Washington Management Group, a Delta company. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Facing a new day, delivering services efficiently, improving citizens' lives, Booz Allen Hamilton supports the most important challenges of government, from defense and economic security to health and cyber solutions. Booz Allen strategy and technology consultants partner with clients to deliver results that endure. Whether managing today's issues or looking beyond the horizon, clients can count on Booz Allen to help them be ready for what's next. BoozAllen.com/ready for what's next. Listen to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio 1500 AM every Friday morning at 11. Brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth. Fed Talk features live interviews with guests from the federal community sharing their insights on issues that affect you. Call in or email questions or comments to FedTalk@FederalNewsRadio.com. Fed Talk is sponsored by GEICO. This week's host, Deborah Roth, will be joined by Craig Floyd of the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund to talk about its 20th anniversary and upcoming gala.
The Federal Broadband Minute, provided by Hughes.
How much bandwidth is needed for field offices to meet their agency's missions? The answer? It depends on your mission and your network. One size does not fit all. Too little at some sites may mean you can't run critical, bandwidth-hungry applications. Too much at others means you're wasting tax dollars. You need to tailor bandwidth requirements at each location to ensure your network achieves your agency's mission. Only Hughes National Managed Broadband Service delivers bandwidth tailored to fit at every site affordably to quickly access voice, video, and data for daily operations or to reach your agency's cloud. Hughes technology includes built-in WAN optimization, ensuring high-quality voice and data traffic is delivered on time and with optimal bandwidth efficiency. Enable your government field office of the future today. From Hughes.
Visit government.hughes.com/WFED. And now, the Federal Living Report, brought to you by WEPA.
Federal hiring still takes too long and asks too much of applicants, but Office of Personnel Management Director John Berry says the agency hiring process is closer to mirroring the private sector. Officials, academics, analysts, and union representatives agree that federal agencies need to take the next steps to maintain progress. Currently, it takes 15% less time, and most job descriptions are 5 pages long or less. I'm Amy Morris.
Will you be receiving a 25% life insurance premium refund check from your insurance company? Federal employees with WEPA Life Insurance will be receiving over $6 million in premium refunds this fall. Since 1996, WEPA has refunded over $58 million in premiums. In comparison, Fegley has never issued a premium refund. Isn't it time you considered WEPA for your family's life insurance needs? For better insurance, better prices, and better value, visit WAEPA.org. Once again, that's WAEPA.org.
Ravens fans, 1500 AM Federal News Radio is your D.C. home for Ravens football. Listen to every game as the Ravens dominate the AFC North and march toward the Super Bowl.
Touchdown, Anquan Boldin. And it's intercepted. Ed Reed's got another one inside the 10.
Give us a Ray Rice. Running right. Big hole. Touchdown.
Catch all the action as the Ravens take on the Houston Texans Sunday, October 16th. Pre-game starts at 3:35 p.m. on 1500 AM.
Arming your home security system gives you peace of mind, but are you paying $30, $40, $50 or more in monitoring fees? Switch to Ackerman Security Systems, the metro area's most trusted name in security, and pay just $18.95 a month. That's right, $18.95 a month, and no cost to switch. Don't have a system? Then Ackerman offers the latest technology, including wireless monitoring. Call by Wednesday and get 3 months of basic monitoring free when you switch or start service with Ackerman. Call 888-999-1070. Ackerman. Security.com.
Join 36,000 people from around the world, including senior leaders from the Army, DOD, and Congress, at the 2011 AUSA Annual Meeting and Exposition. This professional development forum is October 10th through the 12th at the Washington Convention Center and features exhibits on two levels and in five halls, all centered around this year's theme, America's Army, the Strength of the Nation. Admission is free but limited to qualified persons. For more information, please visit www.ausa.org.
Connect with Federal News Radio wherever you are. Like us on Facebook to see the hottest news stories on your wall. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/FedNewsRadio. Download our free iPhone app. Just go to the App Store and search for Federal News Radio. And now, connect to the radio station straight from your cell phone. Just call 712-432-6616. Go to federalnewsradio.com and search for social media for details.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're talking to Carolyn Alston. Carolyn is the general counsel for the Washington Management Group, a Dell Tech company. And we've been talking about GSA schedules. We've been talking about contract duplication, OMB memo on business case for new contracts. And I think this segment, I'm just going to do a potpourri of things around government contracting, Carolyn. And, you know, I guess, first thing I just wanted to ask you and get your sort of views as someone who worked your entire government career for GSA, as I did as well. You know, what you see as their biggest challenges, you know, currently and things?
I think they're... biggest challenge is probably in the services area. I think that the delivery and development of services is changing commercially so that in the commercial market, services are much more integrated than they are in the GSA. GSA services are still somewhat in silos where you're trying to keep management services separate from IT services, for example. And commercially, all of those types of services are part of delivering a solution to a commercial customer. I think GSA is working on that.
So let me just, what we're really talking about is like you have a MOBIS solicitation, which is for management and operations, like analysis and consulting. And you have a PES schedule, which is professional engineering services. And you have a financial services schedule, and all those things are sort of separate schedules. Is that what you're talking about?
That's,
and how they should be more integrated, or IT professional services with MOBIS services?
Exactly what I'm talking about. I think that it's quite a challenge for GSA to continue to solicit in those silos and still be responsive to some of the more complex requirements of customer agencies. And as I was starting to say, I think GSA is working on trying to cope with that issue. But I believe that their solution is headed more towards GWAC type
right.
model than the schedule model.
Right. You're talking about the potential integration.
Yes, I am.
Vehicle.
Yes, I am.
So what do you think of that?
I really think that if GSA's schedule program has been working wonderfully well, and that they need to take their lessons learned and try to integrate within the schedule as opposed to building a totally new model. But I'm not trying to make a judgment on the integrations process. I'm just saying that for the schedules program, I think they need to take some of those lessons learned and work on integrations within the schedule.
Right, well, that is, in terms of addressing the flexibility of the schedules, that you do have that robust competition at the task order level. I think that deals with a lot of, past concerns about those sort of things. But, this discussion of services, it just sort of seems to me, and I wonder what your thoughts of it. It seems to me the government still to this day is trying, government as a whole is trying to figure out or adapt to a world where services are such a big part, much more big piece of the pie with regard to what's being bought. And I just say, you go back to the early 90s, and you have the GSA schedules, which three-quarters of the purchases were for, the dollar value was for products. And you had, to me, a policy written much more focused on a product-type acquisition. And then you see the transformation of the economy, very service-based, mm-hmm. and a lot, the dollar value, you know, DOD is spending over $50 billion a year just on knowledge-based services. And I don't know what you think, but it seems like they still haven't, there's that trying to catch up with the marketplace.
Oh, I definitely think it's still trying to catch up. I think not only the schedules policy, but acquisition policy was written in a, with products in mind.
Yes.
And we still run across individual clauses where, and policies where you have to stop and think, how am I going to apply this in a services environment? So I think it's going to be a while still before the rules catch up with what's happening in industry.
And with that in mind, just, you know, let's turn a little bit to acquisition mm-hmm. workforce. As someone who was a part of the acquisition workforce on operation mm-hmm. level and also mm-hmm. managed acquisition, you know, contracting officers across GSA. You know, from your perspective, what are the biggest challenges facing that acquisition workforce?
Okay. Well, you know, I think this was, when you were asking me about the challenges facing GSA, I think workload is a huge issue facing the agency. And, you know, we have a certain number of people in the workforce. While I was at GSA, and I think now you're not going to be sitting there and all of a sudden be delivered, you know, 50% more people than you have today.
Right.
You know, so I think that the focus has to be on what the people are actually doing. And again, with a workforce that's fairly stable, the number of things that the demands that we're making on the workforce continue to increase in terms of just the number of steps that you need to take to accomplish the same thing. I think it still continues to grow. And if I had something I could do about the workforce, it would really be to change processes.
Oh, we're going back to it's too many words, right, Carolyn?
Too many words, and making sure what those words are actually saying to the people who are doing the work. And in GSA's standpoint, I think part of their success and in bringing numbers of contractors to the table who want to participate in that contract vehicle is also now part of the issue that they're facing with the number of offers that individuals have to process. And in my mind, the only way to do that is to simplify what you're asking the workforce to do. And right now, I don't think that's happening.
Well, it's simplifying what the workforce has to do. Correspondingly, it's simplifying what the contractors have to
Absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely,
they've got to be matched up. Especially when on the back end, you know, the new competition requirements sort of do change that dynamic. It seems to me.
I mean, well, the new competition requirements are requiring buyers to go out into the market more often. It's requiring contractors to respond more often, and that puts a cost on
transactional cost right there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And one thing that, you know, I would like to see done, I don't think I've ever seen done, I mean, whether I was in government or out, is to try to calculate whether the cost of the changes is having any direct impact on what the government is getting in terms of better pricing or better quality product. I'm not even sure how it would be done, but if it could be done, it would be great.
So you're really saying, like, do those, all those too many words, translate into actual results and savings.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And if it translates into savings and results, then it's not too many words.
Right. Yeah, good point. Well, Carolyn, on that note, I want to thank you for being on the show. I want to thank Carolyn Alston, with General Counsel for Washington Management Group, a Dell Tech company, for joining me today. I'm Roger Waldron, and this is Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition of Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, Tuesday mornings at 10:30 only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Continuing congressional coverage is brought to you by United Technologies, trusted to carry you to the top of the world's tallest skyscrapers across oceans and into space. More at utc.com.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington, the Washington, D.C. home of...
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Top story this hour, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke says slow job growth and a